Lord, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your truth of your word and a moment in your presence in worship that just washes us clean of the dust of this world. Spirit of God, just dust us off. Living waters of the Spirit of God, just wash us clean. From head to toe, just come and wash us clean. I was just challenged as we sang, "How great is our God." I was just challenged to think, how great is my God? And I believe that maybe it's for one or two of us just coming this morning, and the Holy Spirit might just be tugging on your heart again, saying, how great is your God? How great is your God? I don't know the mountains you're facing. I don't know the oceans of past, of yesteryear. But I do believe we can trust God this morning in being honest, saying, how great is your God? Lord, we come and lay our God pictures, our great God pictures before you again, and we ask just for by your grace, by your word, by your spirit, just for the true picture through Jesus Christ in every heart there, in Jesus' name. Just the true picture that only Jesus can show us of a great God. And with the picture of a great God, I know great faith comes. We ask Holy Spirit, come and impart. Jesus Christ, come and impart. In this divine moment, come and impart in us, your people. Lord, we're broken and we need you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. You're a great God. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can grab your seat. Thank you, Mian. Thank you, Anina. Anina's probably gone.
I just felt to share this word quickly. I saw it so clearly during worship. So it's either for one person here this morning, or it might be for a few of us. But I saw this picture of a tree losing its leaves. Like in autumn, the leaves fall off the tree. And I felt like this person is the tree, and they are completely freaking out because the leaves are falling off. And you are so desperately trying to hold on to these leaves because in your mind, the leaves aren't supposed to be falling off. This is bad. But it's like, it's almost like God saying, let go, because the season has changed. The season has shifted. You have to let go of the old so that it can bring the new leaves and the new fruit and the new flowers. I just want to encourage, if this is you this morning, don't freak out when it feels like you're losing things or things aren't working out. God is bringing a change in the season, and let him bring the new life and the new growth.
Yeah. I'm just going to quickly pray into that. Let's just close our eyes, if you don't mind. And if that spoke to you, just raise your hand, and we can just say, Lord, amen. There's a couple of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you, Lord. I just come and I just speak surrender and freedom, Lord. Surrender and freedom into these hearts, God. But it's the perfect love that casts out all fear. I pray for these metaphorical trees that you show, and these individuals that have raised their hands, Lord. We just ask for the perfect love of God to flood their hearts now through the Holy Spirit in them. Come and flood their hearts with love. Flood their hearts with love. Thank you, Lord. You'll never take something from us that was worth having or keeping in the first place. Thank you, God. You just flood them with your love. In Jesus' name, help them and usher them through the season. Make them come out stronger, in full bloom, full of fruit on the other side. We step out in faith. We proclaim it over each one of these brothers and sisters of ours, they will come out on the other side in full bloom and bearing the fruit of God in love in Jesus' name. That is the God we serve. Great God. Great God. Great God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. I get it now. Guess what? We're still busy with faith. And guess what? Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, it's amazing. We might be staying here for quite a while, scamping and trusting God to stir us and stir our hearts and give us a capacity full of faith. Who's been challenged this last couple of weeks, faith-wise? Who's been challenged? Who believe their faith has grown? Knowledge, obviously our knowledge grows, but not only our knowledge, but the faith in our hearts, the substance and the trust, that capacity also grows. I've been challenged, but it's been an awesome ride. And I know that the beautiful thing of God is He's a good Father, but we're all on individual roads. And we will grow as we say yes to God and as we partake, as we connect and as we say yes, He'll grow us in these things. And I'm so excited about that. It's becoming too much, so I'm not going to quote everything that we've shared for the last 8 weeks. Edna will be quite glad because she hears it a lot. So let's just jump in today. There was really a moment in our small group on Wednesday that God just came through in worship, and he just clearly showed me a picture of a rainbow. And I knew God is busy speaking about His promises. And I wasn't sure, is it for me, is it for the small group? But I do believe as I just seeked God in the run, I guess, this week, I just believe God just wants to come and chat to us again in the context of faith with regards to the promises that He's given us. Who's ever been given a promise by God? Who's ever had a promise that's not come to bear fruit yet, that hasn't come to fruition? One or two or six or eight from, hey? Not yet. Absolutely. But let's jump in, and we're going to trust God to just walk us through the Word and walk us just through our personal lives. Because this is something that is so near and dear to my heart. But I believe God is just going to come in. We saw an intercession. Just come in with His Spirit and just blow away any dust that have settled on the promises on your heart. I've just noted and I've just realized more and more. And we're not going to give Him any credit, but the enemy is just constantly attacking the promises of God, the seed of God, the children of God, the offspring of God. That can be literally, that can be spiritually, that can be spiritual fruit, whatever. He just attacks life. And we're not giving Him credit. But it is a good thing just to maybe think in the context of faith, well, maybe these things have been attacked. Maybe dust has settled. Maybe I've let in some or other lies concerning the promises of God by the enemy. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's start off with a quote. I like quotes. But we test them as we go. Faith never knows, and I put there in brackets, because there is a matter of knowledge. There is a fair amount of knowledge in faith. There's not no knowledge of the road. But I said there, or Oswald said, and I just put that in brackets, faith never knows exactly where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Again, we just prayed for a couple of us for surrendered hearts, just to know that, man, that's a thing of leaves. They've got a tendency to leave. And that's the thing that God does, is He brings us into a place where we need to surrender. Where we need to surrender to where He's leading us. But we hold fast to what? We have faith in His character, in His name, in who He is, and what His Word says He is. And what Jesus shows us who He is. So faith never knows exactly where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Now last week we spoke about peace. Who had peace this week? Who had peace? About 8 or 9. Great stuff. So we're going to grow in that. We're going to trust God that when we don't have peace, that we ask, Lord, am I in right standing with You? Jesus, show me how I can through faith in you, through faith in your truth and your revelation, get to a place of right standing so that I can be in peace with you. So let's keep on growing in that. But we're moving on to the promises of God. Now in the Word, one guy I read went and counted all the promises of God in the Word, in the Bible. And it comes down to 3,573. Now, I can't vouch for that because I didn't check this week. But it is probably quite a lot, and it can be anything near or close to that number. 3,500 promises in the Bible. That's a fair amount. That's a fair amount of promises. That's a fair amount of promises of God towards His people. But what we should remember, and as I just said, it's about God's character and who He is. That is what His promises tells us about. And the third point there that I just realized is that out of who He is comes the what He will do. So what religion would like to do, or even the prosperity gospel, is you hook onto the promises, you hook onto this formula. You try to figure out the formula because that's just the way we operate as humans. We like to just control our environment. Limit the risk. So as soon as I'm in control and I can limit the risk and I can be in charge of the formula, then I can obviously see what the outcome will be. And I'll be at peace, or I'll be feeling a bit better. Yet God calls us to His place and He says, no. It's not about the formula. It's not about getting it right. It's not by figuring me out. I shared yesterday that at a stage of my life, we lost everything and I had a motorbike, a DT125, and I was 30. I didn't expect that to happen. But yet in that moment, I felt, well, maybe it's all deep and spiritual, and it's maybe a self-righteousness just crept into my heart that, yes, I didn't have much, but I had God, and I was so spiritual about it. And yet God brought breakthrough, and then He said to me, and I asked Him, what should I buy now? And I thought, I'm going to buy X vehicle for X price. And He said, He just totally upped it. And it was almost a third more expensive. And He just said, no, you're going to buy this vehicle. And I immediately, my righteousness was kind of attached, self-righteousness, wrongfully attached to this meek little bike that I had, almost this poor mentality. And yet God was then just challenging me to do something extreme. Why am I saying this? As soon as you think God is, you figured Him out. You figured Him out in some area. He comes and He just says, no, you don't figure me out. But you do know my character. You do get to know me. You want to see how He operates, yet He wants us to know Him personally. So out of who He is comes the what He will do. Why is it important to look at the promises of God? Any thoughts? Why is it important for us to look at the promises of God, to know what the promises of God is? At least a couple of the 3,500. Yes, Albert. To know His goodness, absolutely. To see His goodness out of what He promises and how He then provides. Anything else? Why do we need to know His promises? He will not break a promise. Amen. Because once you know the promise, you know it is the truth. He will not break it. So it's settled. It's rock solid. It's foundational and settled. Chan. In the fruit of it. Amen. If you know that His promises will come to pass, you will have faith in the fruit of it. The hope then. Yes, to give us hope. Amen. It is important. Who's struggling with hope this morning? There's a couple. There's people struggling with hope. Who's struggling with faith or maybe fear? It's a good thing that we get settled and get into the promises of God. Now, if I'm a contracting party, I'm the landlord, Karin is renting from a place from me, and Rolf is really an astute lawyer, and he slaps me with this massive, thick agreement. I throw it at her, and she's just like, she doesn't know a lot. Her dad doesn't have time at the moment to read through it, so she just signs it and goes off. And after month one, I ask for my rent, and she pays, she obliges, and then all of a sudden the place has got a nice swimming pool. My kids rock up, and Edna and a couple of our friends, and she's actually just wanting a bit of a private time, and we just get into the pool, we have a braai, we just help ourselves to something in the fridge. And then, by the way, as I walk out, cling, cling, cling with my stuff, I say, guess what, at the end of the month you need to pay double rent. What would you,
what will your attitude be towards that? Oh yes, by Christ, she's wrong person to ask. She'll probably just pay. No, no, absolutely not. But she'll be quite ticked off. But the bottom line, if she's not read that contract, if she has got no idea, and if she does not have the ability, or she does not take the time to get to dig into that contract and just see what it says, she'll probably just freak out. I might manipulate her with a couple of WhatsApps and freaky stuff, and then I'll pull all Christian fake on her, and then she just pays up. And in the next month, the same thing. And I send some friends of mine just to stay there. They're from Bloemfontein. They're going to come stay for the holidays. And she's just like, what the heck? And I keep on saying, well, it's within my rights. I'm obliged to do this. It's just going to go on for as long as she takes to make the contract her own. She see what it says. For her to dig into it and actually see what it says. She'll get to, no, but I don't need to pay that rent. And by the way, I'm not obliged to let you in and use the pool. Change the locks. Well, we can chat about that later, but it's not in the contract. But the bottom line is, I can haggle around and mess around her life. I can mess around her finances. I can mess around even her mental health. I can mess around her pool. I can mess around constantly on that yard until she realizes that, and we hope she is, she's covered contractually. She's covered by something bigger, something sovereign. And she stands up and she enforces and she says, well, nee. And if she does not, if she's not able, there's somebody that she can go to. It's the same for us. Why is it important to know the promises of God? In preparation, the Lord led me to two scriptures in the Old Testament. Comes through a bit harsh, but maybe it's good just sometimes just to realize that this is life, and it's life substance things, and we need to take it seriously, and we need to make it our own. We need to know who our God is and what He says. Let's go to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Hear the word of the Lord, people of Israel, for the Lord has a case against its inhabitants of the land. I'm not saying it's directly, and I don't want to quote anything out of context. I'm going to go to a scripture within context, which I believe is a principle that we can use. That's just for the teachers and for Pietri, wherever he is. I'm not taking it out of context, but I believe there's a principle that can apply to our lives. Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. Look around, look in Africa, look in certain countries in the world, unfortunately, in places where there's actually no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. What do you see? What do you actually see? You see turmoil. You see destruction, death, and a lot of it. Let's move on. Cursing, lying, murdering, stealing, and adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another. For this reason, the land mourns. The land mourns. Do you hear that? The way in which people react, the way in which they operate, if they operate ungodly, without the love of God, without the knowledge of God, the land actually mourns, God says. The land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Along with the wild animals and the birds of the sky, even the fish of the sea disappear. So, wherever the knowledge, the love, and the truth of God is not operating, there's just turmoil, there's just death and destruction. Have we ever seen that in the world? Yes, we've seen that a lot. We're not going to camp on the point. Let's move on to the next slide, please. But here's what is important. We skip to verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God speaking to his people, Israel, but I believe there's a parable, or there's a parallel that we can draw from that, a principle. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from serving as my priests. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your sons. And the Amplified says the following on verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My law, where I reveal my will. In other words, my people, if they do not know my will, are destroyed. I've saw destruction in my own life in the times that I did not know God's will. I believe God's will is God's promises. By the way, when is something that God says, and when is it a promise? Everything that God says that will have an outcome is a promise. Remember, we're in a culture where I can chat to Yaku, and then I tell him a couple of stuff, I say things to him, I make certain arrangements with him, but if I say I promise, then I'm actually meaning it. The rest is kind of, he's not sure. It's a gray area for him. But when Retief said he promised, it's like less gray, more blackish. God is not like that. When he says something, it is a promise. His will is a promise. If it's going to bear fruit, it is a promise. That is who he is. That is the goodness of our God. If he said black, it's black. If he said blue, it is blue. It's not even shades of anything. It is blue. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're asking ourselves the question, why is it important to know and have faith in the promises of God? Because my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. The second scripture we get in Proverbs, Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there's no godly vision, my people perish. No knowledge, destruction. No vision, perish. In both cases, God is speaking to his people. Quite harsh, it's the Old Testament, but I believe there's ample principle for us to take home today. Where there's no vision, no revelation of God in his word, and I want to add there his will, the people are unrestrained. They just hanmol, hanbos. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Happy is the Karin that knows the contents of the contract. If she does not know the vision, if she does not have the knowledge of the inside of the contract which I and she entered into, she can either be destroyed or she can perish. And we say this hypothetically, obviously. So why is it important for us to look at the promise of God? Why do we need the knowledge? Why do we need vision again? Why do we need to say, Lord, come, just show me again the promises, your knowledge, your truth, your new covenant law, your word, just come and show me. Because we don't want to perish. We don't want to be destroyed either. We don't want to see destruction. If there's an area in your life, not under construction, losing leaves, that's fine. But if there's an area in your life that is being destroyed, that is perishing, that is clearly bearing the fruit not of God but of the enemy, it's just that you probably don't have the promises of God concerning that area. If your finances is in total turmoil, if it's a total mess and it's been like that for years, then there's a very, you can even look back at last week's message, it's a very, 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 very good indication that your finances and your heart towards your finances and God is not in right standing with one another. Peace is not hovering over your finance. And moreover, if we look at Scripture, we look at those principles, chances are well that the knowledge of God is not yours concerning finances. The vision of God concerning finances is not there either. Again, I'm saying not there's times that God actually allows certain things, certain pruning stages, pruning seasons. Don't foresee that as the devil stealing. That's just sometimes just going to the gym and a bit of hard work. A pruning season, call it a desert season, call it what you want. A testing time of God. There is those areas. But sometimes when there's turmoil and a gemors, and we can see a gemors for a gemors, then probably we're lacking vision and the knowledge of God. Sorry, is this a bit hard, guys? It's not, the heart is not that it's hard. It's just to look at it honestly. To say, chutz, maybe I should. Not in fear, but maybe in faith. I should take up the promises of God in his word more seriously. You saw photos in the media of bankers sobbing and tears dropping in their Johnny Walkers with hands in hair because the UK have just left Europe in the Brexit vote and nobody saw that coming, or not many people saw that coming. Their lives just came to a standstill. So what the foundation they had was just rocked. And yet, it's so such a little thing compared to the truth of God. For them, their worlds are rocked over. You might see old mutuals shares coming down or going up, or you might know that the property market is the thing in which you invested all your eggs, and the thing is just nosediving at the moment. And that just grabs hold of your heart. Yet I tell you, I think, let's move to what is eternal and have a greater focus on that. It is important to know the promises of God. What is the promise of God? I believe the promise is the knowledge of God's word, his will, and his ability. promises are the knowledge of God's will, His word, and His ability. A promise is vision. Who's ever had a visionary promise of the Lord? You just have that picture God shows you, that scripture that jumps out at you. A promise is vision. My people perish because of a lack of vision. The nice thing is, it's not a train smash. Just go and ask. But if I don't have vision, I don't have vision for the future. I really don't. For my family, I don't have vision. Go and ask. Go and ask God for vision. I believe He's going to impart vision even this morning. Knowing the Word, I believe, is knowing the promises of God. Knowing the Word of God is knowing the promise of God. Now quickly, what is the promises of God? We can go, there's a definition. The previous one. Yes, thank you, that one. What are the promises of God? It's to announce upon, that is, by implication, to gauge, to be something, to assert something, respecting oneself, profess promise. That's the definition. In layman's terms, better put, I believe, God pledges that something will or will not be done or given or come to pass. It is a promise is what God says will happen. There can be an if involved or sometimes not an if involved. Sometimes He needs a lot of our working along or working with Him, and sometimes it's irrespective if you're working with Him or not. It just happens. So I believe there's two sides of the promises of God. Some of them are conditional upon you aligning yourself with it, walking it out, constantly checking with the Lord. Other ones, God just spoke, and it will be so. The promise of God is rock solid and unequivocal commitments by God. A number of promises in the Word. Let's quickly see where the promises of God and what we believe in, what we are faithful. God gives us promises in the Word for eternal life, the Holy Spirit, our needs, wisdom and guidance, peace, protection, resurrection, love, affection, acceptance, adoption, forgiveness, provision, finance even, healing, deliverance, children, family, marriage, overcoming temptation, fear, and the end of suffering. That's just a couple. That's just a couple of things that God gives us, areas in which He gives us promises. Is there any of those areas that you're struggling? Is there any of those areas that feel lacking in your life, that feels a bit dear macabre? The bottom line is, let's just go knocking and seeking and asking. We were in desperate times, as I've said before, and we were without any income, but I needed to go search the scriptures. What does Matthew 6 actually say about God's provision? What is His heart? And I needed to make it my own. I needed to take that promises and make it my own and have faith in them. What is the personal promises that God's given you? What is the personal promises that God has given you? And how often do you hold them up to the Lord? Let's quickly go to the Word in the next slide. The father of faith, Abraham, that's where it all started. The guy that moved in faith. Here we're just bringing together faith and promises of God. Just quickly bringing them together. And God speaking this promise over him that looked totally ridiculous. Why was it seemingly ridiculous that God gave him this promise? Why was it? He was old. And what else was wrong? He didn't have any children. Yet God said he'll have a family and it'll be as much as the nations. And in fact, he'll bless the nations because of his offspring. So it was just this contrasting thing. Who's ever been against that wall and God comes with a promise and it does not make sense against that wall, with your nose against that wall or your back up against the wall? It just does not make sense. Who's ever been there and then God just speaks the entire totally different thing to you? I said this once before. I was totally broken just after I got saved. And my cuss, and my chops. There's a lot of other words that you can use to clearly describe it, but we're not godly allowed to do that. But I was really in a bad place, and I went, and Edna and a friend of hers prayed for me, laid hands on me, and God gave me my new name, and He spoke a name over me that did not make sense at all. Yet my spirit drank it in. My spirit said yes, even though I didn't realize it then. But in that moment, my spirit said yes. Said yes. Even though I didn't look the part, I didn't smell the part. I didn't anything the part. And I could for the life of me not see a light at the end of the tunnel. Yet in that moment, that truth just came and broke something open. Who's had moments like that? Guys, we need it as Christians. Just a moment where it does not make sense what he's saying, but it is true. And I know that. And that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And I will make you a great nation. You that are old. You, the guy that doesn't have any children. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And you will, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How awesome is that? Just a quick other two or three promises out of the Old Testament. God promised us that if we search him, we will find him. Deuteronomy. But from there, you will seek the Lord, your God, and you will find him. If you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. I think sometimes we vaguely go over things and, oh, the Lord's not really talking to me and I'm not experiencing God. I don't really hear his voice. But if you just take scripture, even in this context, just in the Old Testament, you really apply it. And if I sometimes get to people and they say, well, I haven't heard from God. I don't really hear his voice or anything. And you just get to them and you just say, well, have you spent any time with God? No, not really. I pray on my way to work. I'll just pray in the car for 5 minutes or whatever. And I don't want to jump us into works. That's not what I'm saying. But if I really want to woo Edna, if I really want to catch her heart and show her that I'm in love with her, I actually want to win her heart, I want to win her hand, I want to marry her, I don't send her WhatsApp every 3 months. How's it? You like it? This is cheers. Cheers, Munir. It's not the way it's done. But the Lord promises us, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him. So if you seek him, you will find him. God promised that he will protect his children. Let's look at Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Who's been in situations where you needed that scripture, where you needed that promise? I've been there. I've been there many times where I needed that scripture. If I did not know that, if I did not go to the contact, if I did not know what the promise of God are, who comes in and steals that from me? Who comes and steals that? The devil. It's just his job. Let's move on because I want us to get to a place where God just comes and speaks to our hearts afresh on the promises. In the New Testament, four or five things that Christians sometimes unfortunately forget. You get into this fickle, you get into this position and you wonder why. And yet if you just take the promise of God, if you just take what the Word says in faith, you'll live in victory. One of them is, and write these down or go and make it your own. It's not just something Retief said, okay, cool, let's go home. It is, if this is part of your spiritual foundation, your house will be built on the rock and you will be safe. Guys, I just realized this morning, let's just have an ad break. I just realized this morning, yes, we come to church. Yes, we listen to things. Yes, we know more or less how it's going to go. But guess what? You and me, you're sitting there, you are in the middle of a war. So I don't know if these things feel nice or if church or Bible or these things feel nice or if it's good. But guess what? You are in a war. There might be cake and coffee afterwards, which is not applicable in war, but we are in war. And there is a massive battle in this season, suppose every season, for the truth of God. Are we going to be a people of promise? Are we going to believe what our God says? And just quickly on that, promises of the Word, the promises personally spoken to you, just in worship. I said, Lord, some revelation. He just showed me Eve. I'm like, yes, of course. God said to them, God gave them a promise. Just in layman's terms or in my own terms, it's just, it'll be good with you. It will go good with you. You'll live peacefully. You'll have an awesome life. But just this one thing, just this one promise, don't eat of that tree. I'm like, okay, cool. We won't. They've got peace. They've got right standing with God. They've got this awesome time with the Lord. Yet what happens? what happens? The devil comes along and he says, did God really say? God gives them a promise. He gives them his blessing. What happens? The enemy comes along and he says, did God really say? Whatever you're facing, whatever the war is, unfortunately in our culture, we sometimes get accustomed to eat what? Eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The end of that is death. Yet God calls us with his promises to a place to eat of what? The tree of life. So we're constantly being barraged or attacked with this thing, did God really say? God is a healer. God delivers. God does miracle signs and wonders. God provides. God protects. God is good. God is a father. God is with you. All of those things. But you'll many times hear Christians saying, yes, 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 that's true. But, you know, practically, doof, doof, doof. With healing, you can say you can have an apple in both hands. One from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No, one from the tree of life, one from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God gives you a promise of healing. Now you need to decide. Now it's taking a bit of time. Now you listen to a couple of reports. Now you read a couple of things. Now somebody whispers something in your ear. Maybe the beerman says something. The guy down the road says something. You're sitting with this thing. God has given me a promise. And the devil comes and says, did God really say? You need to decide. Am I going to bite on the tree of life or the apple of knowledge of good and evil? Which of those am I going to do? Let's move on. I'm back at number one, New Testament number one. I've gone off the pages for a couple of detours. New Testament. Promises that we have to remember. Christ has overcome the world. Just for sake of clarity, just repeat after me. Christ has overcome the world. Just again, guys, I know it feels stupid, but I believe we're in a war this morning. Christ has overcome this world. It's one thing to repeat it and go home. Guys, this needs to be an absolute true reality. If you can meditate on that for the rest of your life and only that, I can bet you it will be a good outcome. And not that I should bet, but trust me, it'll be a good outcome. Christ has overcome this world. We've dealt with the scriptures many times this last couple of weeks. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. Imagine coming up, saying to you, hey man, have a bite of this apple. Did God really say? In that moment, replying and saying, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. Pratif, did God really call you for X, Y, and Z? The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. The works that Christ did, and even greater so, I will do. Miracle signs and wonders will follow those who believe. But we need to come to that place where we decide. As much as I love Johan, as much as God might move us and we grow in relationship, I will not be able to make the decision for him. There comes a time between him and God where he will stand up and say, no, 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 this is enough. Guess what? The promise over my life is the following in Jesus' name. Poof! Thank you very much. And it's as simple as that. But God calls us individually to walk that road, to trust him, to stand on his promises. But remember, it is a war. One on which, guess what? We're always on the winning side. We take the promises and we believe them. That's it. Second one that we need to remember, our sins are forgiven. Many times we get attacked by shame and condemnation constantly. Our sins are forgiven. These things I've spoken to you, that in me, moving down, to his saints who are forgetful of his promises, Jesus said the following, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life, and I shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. 1 John 1 verse 9 says it better. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, guys, there's not a couple of sins or most sins that are forgiven and some not. One of the truths, one of the promises of the word that you need to stand on that will keep you standing is that when you confess your sins, you are actually forgiven. You are actually entirely, totally forgiven. Psalm 103, read it this morning. Beautiful. He takes your sin as far as the east is from the west. It is done. It is settled. No gray area. The promises of God need no gray areas. It's the areas of gray. It's the areas where you leave open the back door a little bit. It's where the enemy comes in, brings dust and filth and nonsense, and just permeates with his nonsense the promises and the truth of God and the life of God in your life. Be aware. Another promise in the New Testament that we need to know and remember as Christians, Christ now intercedes for us. He stands in the gap. He is our high priest. He is our high priest that stands in the gap. We look to Him, and He stands in the gap. I'm not going to read all the scripture. We need to move on. And then finally, one other promise that we need to make our own. No doubt about it, it's Christ that lives in us. I've dealt with it. Go read Romans 8. It's just beautiful how He gives us His Spirit again that cries out, Abba, Father. But it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Who feels glorious this morning? Anybody? There's a couple of Colgate smiles, but do I see glory? No, why not? Why not, guys? Let's be honest. Why is there no glory? Because how much have we been meditating on the scripture? How much have we made that promise our own? And this is not condemning. It's just a call that we can stand up. It's just a call that we can stand up and be the sons, be the daughters of God, walk in the promises, see its fulfillment. See the nations as our inheritance come in. Come on, Lord. It's not towards you. It's just towards the mountains that needs to put themselves in the sea today. I have a faithful Father in you too. We activate the promises of God by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The sons and daughters of God shall live by faith. If it's uncomfortable, guys, in love, there's no other way. It's just God to make us fit. It's not necessarily becoming more comfortable, but it's becoming more fit and trusting Him. And you're going to grow in it, and you're going to become strong, and you're going to do more mightier things than you ever thought. But don't give up. Don't. If you can't stand the heat, stay in the kitchen. Stay in the kitchen. Do not leave the kitchen. Please, it's a cry. Please do not leave the kitchen. I hope you're getting what I meant by that. We grab hold on. We activate. We pull in. We catch. We see the fruit come to fruition, come bear fruit, the miracles and the promises of God by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence in things unseen. So we see, here's a lot of promises about the unseen. I hope for all of these things, 3,500, those that are applicable in this season to me. I want to see them. I want that hope that Dirk referred to see them come to fruition. Yet I draw them in. I activate them. I see them by faith. Faith in God. Faith in Christ. Not in my own ability. Faith in the Spirit of God. How did the guys in the Bible do it? Because we need to do it ourselves. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. Just quickly read on Google this morning after intercession. It's just like, how long did it take to build the ark? 100 years. People ridiculing, spitting, chastising and just laughing at him, persecuting him. And he's building a big boat. For 100 years. With not a drop of rain, not a flood in sight. Yet with the fear of the Lord, he says, I bless you guys, but I'm building my boat because I know my God. I know the promises of my God. He activated that by faith. And what happened? He saved us through 8 people on a big boat.
At this speed, we're not going to get far. Let's move on. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Who would be offended if God does that in your life? Heather, you've got a beautiful place. Everything is settled now. But back up. They're coming to fetch your boxes. And you're like, okay, cool, Lord. It sounds very fun, but where are we going? You don't know. Well, I know Heather. I think she might just like that. It's about John that I'm worried. Not really. They'll figure that one out. But the bottom line is sometimes God calls us through His promises and His ways unto places that is a bit uncomfortable. Faith is a bit uncomfortable sometimes. But man, it tastes good after the end. Probably lost my place again. Thank you. What a helper. Thank you, Edna. By faith he stayed as a foreigner in a land of promise, living in the tents of Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Oh, man, that just sounds good. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered the one who had promised was faith. God doesn't call us to walk in faith for things that is practically attainable. He doesn't really call us for things that is easy attainable practically that you can do. He calls us for those things that truly only He can do. Now, I'm not saying there's no faith in the practical. God providing a plate of food for your hand today. Wiplik, as I know the man, rice flesh and articles. Oh, maybe these days not, they're very healthy. But God obviously provides those things as well, but there's bigger things. Bigger things that Umyohana called for. And those are the ones that he called for by faith. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, Abraham, as good as dead. That's where God started with this whole thing. From one man as good as dead, the father of faith. One man as good as dead. Say, one man as good as dead. Have you ever felt like one man as good as dead? I felt this. I think I was. One man as good as dead. From one man as good as dead, our God comes and He brings forth the father of faith. Who are you to cut yourself short? Who are you to say that you can't walk the road of Noah or Abraham or Sarah? You're not, because you can. Came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. The promises of God in His Word are in His Word. It's either given to us directly or indirectly, and the Holy Spirit will help you. We don't have time for that. But last thing that I do want to quickly stand still is, guys, we activate God's promises. Firstly, we hear in the Word, we see in the Word, we take it and we make it our. Now be careful. Let's trust the Holy Spirit. You want to go on a garden route holiday at the end of the year. You think, nice now, it will be great. You flip over scripture and you read the word tree. And immediately, God's just confirmed. We can go to Nisner and we can stay at the best hotel. Love, how did you hear that? I just read the word tree in the Bible. Sometimes we do that. I think we should get a greyhound. I want a new dog. Or Edna wants a what? What do you call that ugly thing? A pug. And she reads the scripture, a dog returns to its vomit. And she's like, I think God just confirmed we can get a pug. Well, that can actually make sense now that I think about it. But guys, let's be careful. Let's also just use our spirits, but also just be connected to our brains. Ask the Holy Spirit. Not everything you read in here is directly in context your scripture. But you can edit this out later, but I've also seen God, I believe, quote scripture and use scripture out of context, but it makes sense to your heart. So God can do anything, but just be careful, be discerning, trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you and be accountable.
It's not if I read Ferrari in the Bible that God definitely wants to give me a Ferrari. Chances are pretty slim. It'll be a very weird translation if I do. But you hear my heart. Just be careful for those things and make sure that the Holy Spirit ramas and confirms and tries to, if it's big things, tries to be accountable about it. There's a waiting with faith, with grabbing hold of the promises of God. There's a waiting. Tian, how long did you wait to go to Zambia on missions? How many years? 3, 5 years, yes. God gave him a vision. He really had this on his heart to go on mission to Zambia. But it took 5 years. Did you at the beginning, when you first felt the inkling of the Holy Spirit, did you at first feel that it's going to take 5 years? You probably, it tasted so good you thought it was the next day. Who's had that with the promises of God? It's now. Now or never. Heather, you've most assuredly had that before. Like me. Yeah, like me. Absolutely. I tasted it so real. The vision is so real. I'm like, Lord, we're going to Antarctica now. It's not for later, it's now. But yet there's a wait. If Abraham had to wait, chances are well that we're going to have to wait. Love this quote. Great faith is a product of great fight. Who's up for a great fight? Yes, 3 of us. Go team. I'm going to try that again. It wasn't a joke. Who's up for a great fight? Because you're in the middle of a fight, you might just stand up and fight with, in authority, in love, with the mandate of God. There's, unfortunately, you don't sit on the fence on this. You either fight or you don't. Great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Great triumphs can only come out of great trials. It happens, but God is good. There is a waiting. Joseph, you know the guy, Psalm 105, we'll see there. No, let's read it first. He had sent a man ahead of them. This is a nice just summary in Psalms of what has happened in Joseph's life. But it's beautifully put. He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Who'd be offended by a collar of iron? Definitely. Until what he had said come to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. That verse is important. Until the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Until the prophecy, until the promise came to pass, it tested him. Who's been tested by the promises of God? The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him a lord of his house and ruler of all possessions to bind the princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Joseph has this amazing dream. He just rocks up and says, hey, guess what, brothers? You guys are going to bow down before me. Didn't put it that directly, but they just get freaked out. And you know the rest of the story. But I think it took like 13 or 14 years from that moment where he shared his dream. And after that moment of promise, that amazing dream, to the technicolored dream code, golden boy, all hell broke loose. Great triumph. After great trial. Great fight. For 14 years or 13 years, under correction, I think 13 years, all hell broke loose. Rejected by his brothers. Thrown into a pit. Sold as a slave. Ended up in Pharaoh's house, working as a slave. After that, falsely accused, thrown into jail. Who'd be offended now? But God, this promise, Lord, these promises you've given me, and you end up in jail. And then at one afternoon, it's like these suddenlies of God. God comes through. Noah had a fair bit of waiting to do, and he had to keep faith. Joseph had a fair bit of waiting to do, and he kept faith. Abraham, the same thing. Struggled now to remember how many years he had to wait from the promise till the day that he got Isaac. But it was a long wait. Are you willing to wait for the promises of God? Are you willing to faithfully wait it out for the promises of God? Shocking thing is, guard your heart. But sometimes God has even given people or people group a promise, and only the next generation or the generation thereafter sees the fruit. Am I and Edna willing to lay down our lives, follow God, have visions, have massive things that God shows us, yet not we see the fruit of that, but maybe the generation after us in the area of ministry or whatever God's given. Am I willing to do that? Our culture doesn't want to see that. I want to see fruit, man. I want to see investment. I want to see growth. Yet as spiritual sons and daughters, are we willing to say, no, God, I believe you. That in fact, the promisor is always bigger than the promise. Yes, God, that fruit's going to be amazing. Yes, God, that vision's going to be amazing. Yes, that thing that you've imparted for us as a family is amazing. But I'm willing, even if it's in the next generation, even if it's after my lifetime. And then moreover than that, God, that is big in my life. I want to see that happen, but you are still bigger than it. I've unfortunately, in prophetic circles, I love prophecy, I love promise of God. I love God's rhema word through His Holy Spirit. But I have often seen how God gives a big promise to a big guy, and that the promise becomes bigger than the promisor. That the thing that God has promised you or said to you, maybe with an if, I don't know, later on becomes your God. And we need to be so careful for that. God needs to be God. The thing that He gives you, the thing that He grants to you through a promise, is never bigger or better than Him. Trust God to keep our hearts in the safe place where He is also, where He's always the biggest. Waiting. There's always a time of waiting. Psalm 31:14 says, but I trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies. My times are in your hands. We moved to Malmesbury. God said to me, pit stop. Who knows Grand Prix? How long is a pit stop? Who, Phil? 7. Okay. I think it's about 7 to 10, in fact. 7 to 10 to do tires, fuel, maybe give a high five to the driver, Jesus. No, not a toilet break. Yeah, come on. We're talking about miracles, but not as big a miracle. As they say, it's cool to pee your pants in certain circumstances. But anyway, God said to me, Malmesbury is going to be a pit stop. He's taking us on to another thing, a pit stop. So I'm thinking pit stop. Obviously, God, it's not going to be 10 seconds. I thought 6 months. That's a long wait. I'm being all godly about this. 6 months, Lord, it's going to take to do what you want to do in Malmesbury, and you'll move us on. That pit stop was 5 years. 5 years is quite a long time if you're sitting there and waiting and having a totally different expectation of what is happening. But in that time, in your pit stop, in your 5 years, there's a choice. Joseph had a choice in 14 years. Noah had a choice in 100 years. Abraham had a choice in how many years? Am I going to harden my heart? Or am I going to keep my knees bent before the Lord? Everybody with a promise here, and that's everybody, you're going to face that moment. I want to say definitely, you are going to face that moment. You need to keep your heart soft, where circumstances will not indicate favor towards the promise necessarily, but where you want to say, yes, Lord, your way and your will be done. Just quickly, as we're ending off, just on not hardening our heart, what happened to Abraham? The father of faith. God promises him, what? I'll give you a son. What happened after a couple of years of waiting? What happened? Who knows the story, eh? He made his own plan. Who likes making your own plans? Who likes the fruit of making their own plans? No. My mother always wanted to move a room. So we altijd goed rondskuif. And I told her at the beginning it will not work. And then she just decides to make her own plan. Not that I'm God. But you understand. And then eventually she'll just move herself into a corner that she can't get out. And we'll be shouting from the room that I need to come and save her. But I believe it's a beautiful picture of God. Ruthie, don't move the room now. I've got a plan. Ruthie, help me. So I learned from my mother.
trust God more, your flesh less. Abram made his own plan. His own plan's name was Ishmael. Now, just on the side, whose wife will ever tell you, "Hey, Fee, I think it's a good idea that you sleep with my my slave to bring us offspring"? Well, I think that is just a bit weird in any event. Jan, why are you enjoying the joke so much? But that was weird in itself. He should have thought that through a bit better. God gives him a massive promise. He's the father of faith, yet his wife comes along and thinks, "I think the plan that God actually meant was that you should sleep with my slave." And I must say, and this is not anything towards women or men or whatever, but just be careful. Sometimes the way that the enemy wants to create, the heel wortel that he wants to hold through you, to you, might sometimes come from pretty close to you. You hear what I'm saying? I'll just be careful, because the enemy likes to just come and, in subtle ways, come and drop a hint. It can work exactly the other way around. Edna's had promises, and I struggle to stand. Then she needs to say, no, but let's just wait on the Lord. And she does that many a times in areas of life. So it's not a man-woman thing in my heart. But be careful, because the Ishmael comes on a platter to us sometimes. We need to be careful of the Ishmaels. What happened to Ishmael? The word is quite clear. Genesis 12 verse 16. Remember, this is when God gives you a promise, he gives you a massive vision, and you walk from out his promise, you walk from out his preparation for you. You don't wait, you don't stand in faith, you make your own plans, the following happens. And this happened to Abraham. Genesis 12, 16. This man, referring to Ishmael, will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live at odds with all his brothers. Don't want to go too deep into this. The fruit of that, we still see today. The fruit of that, making your own plans, the fruit of that we still see today. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hands will be against him. We still see that today. Guys, be careful. Let's walk in faith. Let's trust God for the promises. There's grace. God will gracefully come, and somebody will speak into your life, will give you a scripture. He's not looking, standing back, thinking, he just needs to put a foot wrong. No, he will help you, but be careful not to harden your heart, not to make your own plans without God. Wait for the promise in faith. Wait for the promise in faith. Leon, would you mind just to play for us, and we're going to pray together. There's so much to say about this still, but you don't have the time. This is this beautiful picture that I read or heard from Derek Prince, I think. Just staying in harmony with God. God gives us promises, but we need to stay in harmony, stay in sync with God. Leon's playing notes, but the right note is one thing. If you've got an orchestra, playing the right note on your instrument is great. But it's not only playing the right note, it's the right note at the right time. Guys, we're in a culture where we want stuff done now. We want it all sorted out now. We've got a God of eternity that has better time. He's not firstly connected or under time, but he's got a better time if you look at the Word. Do not lose heart about the promises that God's given you. Do not lose heart. Be in harmony, be in sync with God, so that he can play the right note in and through your life. Not only the right note, but at the right time. Do you mind standing with me, and I want us to pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that you've sown seeds in our hearts. Anything that was not of you, thank you that you just washed that away. But the seeds of righteousness that through your Spirit and through your Word you sowed, thank you that it will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in our hearts, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that in Isaiah and Proverbs, Lord, you just gave us a warning that unfortunately destruction will come to those that do not have knowledge of God, and without vision we will perish, God. And we will just come as a people and say, God, we want to be a people of promise, to know firstly the promisor, to know you, God, but also what you said, what you've decreed, what you've decided. We want to know that for us personally and for us through the Word, Lord. We pray that you'll help us through that, and that you'll give
Philip what he needs and Albert what he needs, where it's different in different seasons. We pray for everybody that you'll just take us deeper to know what your promises are over our lives. I believe everybody here. I just want to ask, if you want to just grow in your knowledge of God's promises, of your life and vision, you just want to grow in that and would like an impartation, if you just raise your hand, just say, Lord, I want the true knowledge. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just prayed simply as children. Lord, you've seen our hands. Now please lead us in it, Lord, that we will have the knowledge of God and His promises over my life, over my future, over my family future, and over for my calling. I call forth revelation, wisdom, and knowledge. I call forth vision now. Shh. Thank you. Thank you. Receive it, guys. God is really imparting and will impart, as we say yes, He will impart knowledge, vision, and wisdom. Yes, Lord. Really sense the Holy Spirit in this. Just receive it by faith. Say, thank you, God. Even though I don't understand it, I will. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it, Holy Spirit. We receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you. We will be a people that will not perish. We will be a people that will not be destroyed. Because we will be a people of promise. We will be a people of faith. By your grace, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. I believe God said I should end there. So, amen.